Okay, so we're talking about retention and recruitment today. We kind of want to work a little bit backwards, because if you retain your parents well, you don't have to do as much recruiting, and your parents do the recruiting for you. So that's why we talked about serving and supporting our foster parents yesterday. It's a very key part of what we do. You all have heard us talk about our agency and what we do. We're based in Nashville. We do adoption, foster care services, counseling services, and we have a domestic violence shelter in which we do court advocacy assistance. So we write all the orders of protection in Davidson County, Tennessee. And we know love works because we see it in action each and every day. We do, this type of work that we do is very child and family friendly. If we are solidifying children and families, we are stabilizing our society. So it's the work that continues to benefit the whole community. So that's why I think it works well. I think that's why we're visible in the community. So as we get started, there are a couple of things we want to talk to you about. Our agenda today, we're going to do a quick activity together. We'll do some giveaways. And then the strategy that we're using is to look at proven business strategies and deciding which of those translate into recruiting foster parents. So business recruiting translating to foster parent recruiting. So first, I want you to look at this this slide here. And as quickly as you can, I'm going to give you just a few seconds. Count how many bottles you see. Ready, go. Okay. Any guesses? How many bottles did you see on the tree? There are at least 26 bottles on that tree. Okay. How many branches were there? Why don't you know how many branches there were? You didn't count the branches. When we are looking through the lens in our world of what we do, what we focus on is what grows. If I had had you look at branches, you wouldn't have counted the bottles. If I'd had you count leaves, you wouldn't have counted branches. We need to be constantly looking at the whole picture. Same as when we look at a child, when they first come into our homes, we're looking at their immediate needs. Do we have enough shoes? Do we have enough pair of pants? Do we have underwear? Do we have socks? Do we have a toothbrush? Do we have toiletries? When that child is so much bigger than those immediate needs, that child's emotional needs, that child's connection needs, that child's education needs. So what we always need to do is back up and look at that whole picture as we approach the way we serve our children and the way that we serve the families that are serving the children, okay? So as we get started, we're going to watch this quick video about foster parents, and we're just going to pray that our Wi-Fi is holding strong.
It's important to feel that somebody cares about you. Just to have the stability of being able to stay somewhere and feeling like you belong, not feeling different because you are in foster care.
Seeing the experiences of life through these children has really helped me to realize that even in my own life, God has given me so much, and He has blessed me with so much. And I want to be able to share those same experiences with these children and to be able to be a blessing to them as much as I can.
A lot of these kids feel they don't belong because they have passed through home after home after home, and they feel like, wow, nobody gives them a chance. Nobody wants them because maybe of their age or maybe what they've been through. If you have a heart, you can turn that around as a foster parent. You can. And they will learn to love you. They will learn to trust you, but it's what they've been through that you have to work on.
The impact foster parents can have on the kids' life is tremendous. I know from working with some teenagers that I've talked to who are now adults, they'll say that time period that they were with those foster families, they had so many new experiences. They went to school every day and really gained a lot of knowledge that way that they may not have gotten, and really had some great role models for whatever length of time they were in that home. They'll never forget the experience.
When, you know, you're loving and you have empathy and you have care, and you show that to a child, it's a distinction between mom, you know, and mother in this house, or dad and father, right? I have a mother, you know, I came from her uterus, right? But she's not my mom. You know, my mom is this woman right here. And I, you know, she, you know, gave that to me by showing up and doing the work. And in turn, I said, yes, yeah, I accept you as my mom. You're right.
These children should not know they're in foster care. They are in need of a good home, safe home, disciplined structure until parents get themselves together, if that is possible. If not, they might need a place to stay. And that's what I'm here for. That is my passion.
Foster care has been an awesome choice for our family. It's not always been easy, but it's always rewarding. You get to see them grow, and you get to see them change, and you get to see them heal and work through hard things that are in their lives that they need to work through and they need to overcome. And it's just really awesome to see that.
Yes, I would. I would. Even though sometimes I tell myself, you know, why? Why am I doing this? And especially I say, at 76 years old, you know, I'm doing this. But it's like, they need somebody. That's what the car that spins around. You're going around the like this and then it spins.
The only roller coaster.
I think a lot of the myths are that I just can't do it. We have such a variety of foster families who do a phenomenal job. We have families come in before they have children and they do great. We have families who have little children who are amazing. And we have families that are older who do this, that do a wonderful job. So I would just tell them that they can do it and really just encourage them to take that next step.
You know, you're a teacher in some ways. A teacher who, you know, lives at home with a kid, but a teacher nonetheless. And good teachers are extremely important. You know, they guide us, they change our lives. And I think it's the same thing, you know, for foster care.
What do you notice about the end of this video? Is that my video? No, it's Bethany Christian Services. In our area, we have the huge benefit of a network of private agencies that collaborate, that communicate. I sat around the table. We have a converted grocery store that's now, it's called Plaza Mariachi, and it's got all these restaurants, and it's got a stage, and it's got shops, but it is in a Hispanic part of town. And several of us who recruit and train sat around the table to collaborate on things that we can do. We send business to each other. I am not always the best fit for everybody. Bethany is not always the best fit for everybody. And to be honest, Bethany's doing not as much traditional foster care. They're doing transitional. They're on a federal contract working with unaccompanied minors in our area now. But these are the stories that we want to tell. We want to share what we do with other people, and that's why this room is so important, for us to share our resources and ideas. I'm not going to have all the ideas. Amy's not going to have all the ideas. You guys are going to have ideas that you're going to share with us, too. So I love that we're collaborating on this. Today we're going to talk about principles of business recruiting that that translate to our area of serving, and I'm going to let Amy start with the first one. We're going to have 10. So if you want to write them down, writing down is important.
So kind of to piggyback off of what, piggyback, that's such a clinical term, piggyback. I have got to meet a lot of you this past couple of days, and I've heard a lot of you say, hey, like, we really do more children's homes, but we're going to tiptoe and put our foot in foster care, and we don't really know what that looks like, and what could that possibly look like? That's really what we do. We don't do what you guys do. So we would love to somehow create a community among us. If we create an email serve, if we do, you know, anything that you guys think creatively, we will be happy to share that with you guys. Like she said, we're in this to serve the Lord and serve kids. And if we can get as many people doing that, we would be happy to do that. So let's talk about having a well-defined strategy. Have a plan, write it down, and execute it. I think you need to take a step back before you have a plan and think about, okay, who are our customers? Who are our customers, internally and externally, right? Who are our customers? Who are our customers in foster care? Kids? In terms of recruiting and retention, we're talking about foster parents, right? So internally, if we know that we need excellent customer service and child welfare. You don't hear that a lot. You don't hear that a lot, right? The thing that I get frustrated a lot when I worked for the department, there were many things, but one thing specifically was that we social worked problems, we didn't operate as a business. The reality is we are a business. There's really good, sound models that we can use, and excellent customer service is one of them, right? So what would that look like? What would excellent customer service look like? Do our foster parents know that their needs are going to be met, that we're responsive? Do they know that they are contributing to a team? Do they know that they are going to be able to have being built into training, right? We're talking about, let's think about, you've given me a whole list of, bless you, a list of responsibilities. Are you going to equip me to be able to do those things? So let's think about, before we ever come up with a plan, let's look at what who our customers are and how we as an agency, what are we doing well, who are our customers, and how could we do better? For those of you that are just dipping your toe in, like I said, we have tons of resources we would be happy to share with you. There's also, you can literally Google yourself into foster care. I'm telling you, it's true. But specifically, I would encourage you to look up Adopt Us Kids. Just put Adopt Us Kids, recruitment and retention. You're going to get a whole lot of information and resources. The Annie E. Casey Foundation is a wealth of information that you can utilize. Tons of resources, evidence-based programming, data. Data is important, especially if you're trying to get some grants. So look those websites up. Also, CHAMPS, fosteringchamps.org, is a coalition of partners, research advocates, pediatricians, faith-based leaders, foster parents, trying to improve parenting for children in foster care. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome website. They have goals on there. They have recruitment and retention goals. They have plans that you literally could pull down. So I would encourage you. Oh, I'm sorry. Fostering, it's fostering and then CHAMPS, CHAMPS.org. Fosteringchamps.org. The Annie E. Casey Foundation and Adopt Us Kids. All of these that I just mentioned also have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And so if you are on any kind of social media, I know Facebook's for old people, but I guess I'm old. That's what our teenagers tell me. They don't have any Facebook. It's Snapchat, which I don't even know how to get on Snapchat. But you can actually go to these sites on Facebook and like, and almost every day there's some kind of published article or an agency that's doing something great in Tennessee or Texas or Georgia or North Carolina. So you can go to all of those, and it's wonderful. So how do you start? You state a goal, and you come up with strategies. What does that really look like? You can go to the next one. Do you ever feel, I feel like, especially when you're meeting with the state, we meet to meet to meet, and we never get anything accomplished? Do you ever feel like this? It's like, oh my gosh, I just sat with a 19th policy meeting and it's still not even finished, and we have to go back to another one. Let me just say this. You can go ahead to the next one. There is obviously a SMART goals that you can kind of use as your shell for how you create a retention plan. Let me dumb it down for you. Set a goal. What is your action step? Who's going to do what? And is there some kind of time that we're looking at, right? So you're going to be specific. If you are thinking about... Let me get to this computer. Okay, so specific. Who's doing what? When are they doing it? Measurable. Before you can think about is it measurable, you actually have to think about what does that actually look like? This past year, when I came to Agape, I said I wanted to get to 100 kids in foster care, and all the staff was like, what? But I didn't have a clear measure of how I was going to do that. So literally, it's taken us 3 years to get there. Because I have a tendency to fly in and then have to go clean up a bunch of stuff afterwards. I don't suggest you do that as you're creating your program. It's not cost effective. You're going to work yourself in the ground. Don't do that. So think about specifically what do we want to do. This year we want to serve 15 kids and we want to have 20 foster parents fully approved and licensed. So if we do that, then how are we going to measure it? Well, do you have any data now that you're using? You're like, I don't have a database. Y'all, you have an Excel spreadsheet. Everybody can get an Excel spreadsheet. You can start that way. You can track. If you have people within your organization that are number crunchers, look at them. Get close to them. You're going to need the data. You're going to need to be able to pull that out. Not only are you going to need the data, you're going to have to measure it. You're going to have to figure out, is this achievable? This is a big one. This is one that I think that we don't spend enough time on. Do we have the resources currently to get to what we want to get to, right? So what I would say is, look at what you're currently doing, right? And then say, I mean, we're currently doing nothing. How do we even get started? Every one of you has a state that has a website for Child and Family Services or DCS. Go to those websites, look up, how do I become a fully licensed foster care agency in the state of Tennessee? Who are the recruitment specialists for foster care in the state of Tennessee? Call those people. I'm telling you, they need you more than you need them, especially right now because there's such a shortage of foster homes. Look at what it takes to fully train a foster parent. Talk to the training, recruitment, and development people. I walked into a cush job talking about recruitment and retention because Laura has done such an incredible job. I'm telling you the reason why she's done such an incredible job is because she had those relationships with the people at DCS Central Office. Of the 78 kids we currently have, only 7 of them are private cases. The rest are all state custody kids. And so I would encourage you all, if you're like, we just don't do that, we don't get involved with the state, I would suggest... maybe you should. Those kids need Jesus desperately. And so I'm not up here to make a marketing plea. I'm just telling you, it will be difficult on the front end because you are going to have to get licensed. You're going to have to figure out what that looks like for your agency. You might not have the infrastructure. Start small, right? Start small. You're like, well, how do we stay relevant? And how do we even figure out what that looks like? Do you have a church in your area that currently sends you money? Do you have a church that will bring you diapers or whatever? One thing that Chandler likes to do is talk about a lot that your elders and preachers should be preaching this from the pulpit. He likes that. I do too. So talk to leaders at the churches that you attend. Talk about, hey, what is your church doing This year, one of the churches in Nashville is a huge Baptist church. It's the 25th anniversary of Roe v. Wade this year. And he said, "We can't talk about how much we are against abortion if we're not for birth families, birth moms, and kids in foster care." And so this year they're doing a lot of things differently than they have the last year. We have never worked with this church before. Again, thanks to Laura, we did a pre-service training class there. This Saturday, one of the goals that we have at our agency is to have more Black and Hispanic foster parents. Because right now, it's almost like we are the ones that serve Hispanic girls and their babies in Davidson County, and I don't have one Hispanic foster family. So this weekend, we're going to an event at Plaza Mariachi, and a bunch of agencies are going to be there, and they actually invited us. So I'm sorry. I'm going too far. The last thing is be sure that it's time-bound. You have to have checks and balances, and you have to know, when am I going to come back and look at what I've created, the goals that I've had in place? At the end of the fiscal year, did I serve 25% more foster parents? Did I get those three Hispanic foster families? Any questions just about the SMART goals or customer service? Okay, Laura.
Okay, so that strategy part is the biggest piece that we're going to have today. We're going to go a lot faster with our next points. Number one, because we have to, time bound. But point is, you don't have to start from scratch. There are people who are already writing recruitment plans that you can develop from. Take advantage of those resources. The next point we want to talk about is how to be competitive. Who is your competition? Do you have competition? Yeah, everybody's got competition. Department of Children's Services is one of our competitors, other private agencies. However, we don't have to think of them as adversarial. We can work together. I said this earlier, but not everyone should be in an agape foster home. They may not want to hear me drone on for 7 weeks in training. That may not be their cup of tea. They might have a better fit somewhere else. We have a lot of people who come to us who want itty-bitties. We don't get a ton of itty-bitties. We do get itty-bitties, but most of the itty-bitties are placed with the department. So we say, hey, maybe a better fit for you is to work with the Department of Children's Services. If someone knows that they want to adopt a teenager, that's fantastic. None of our children at Agape are featured on the gallery sites. None of them. Once they become adoptable, once they're in state custody. None of them. So we would say, hey, probably Youth Villages or Omnivisions. One of those agencies would be a good fit for you. So our competition, it's important to be competitive. We're wanting to be different from our competition. We're wanting to rise above our competition. But if somebody says, why are you better than your competition? We don't want to say what they're not doing well. We want to put the focus on us, and we want to say, well, we do this well. We're not going to say they do this really poorly. That doesn't help us at all. We want to elevate the things that we're doing positively. I saw a hand go up over here. Does somebody have a question?
Would you consider working with adoption agencies to be foster families that they need while children are waiting for placement?
We have not typically done that because we already have adoptive families. We do adoption, private adoption as well. And we do use our families for that. The majority of those agencies already have their people, but we do all network and talk with one another, because we don't see each other as competition. I mean, some of them out there may see each other as competition, but we really think that there is enough business to go around, especially when you're working with kiddos in the state. But if you can work together, you make each other better. Okay, we're better together. All right, Amy's going to talk to us about branding.
So if I ask you, what is the brand for Target? Circle. What is the brand for McDonald's? What's Starbucks? What's your brand? How would I know? Yeah, Okay, this is a trick question, and it sounds offensive, and I didn't mean to be offensive. I think that it's very important that we think about, what does our branding look like? I think historically my experience has been, a lot of times, faith-based organizations and even churches do a poor job of representing themselves to the community. Your anything that goes out should be excellent. Your publications, your social media, your flyers, is it appealing? Is there so much in it that you can't even see that people don't even want to look at it, right? So take the time. We recently, within the last year, have looked at our website and have done a ton of tweaks because, quite frankly, it wasn't great. We had to do some redirection. We had to clean a bunch of stuff up. Some of the stuff wasn't accurate. People would call for somebody that didn't work there anymore. So think about, what are you presenting to the community so that when they do contact you, it is appealing, it's excellent, it's child-friendly, it is culturally sensitive, not in a way that you're pandering, but in a way that's actually relevant to the clients that you're serving. Does that make sense? Any questions about branding?
Okay, one of the other strategies for business is to target non-lookers. Who is a non-looker? That typically, that means poaching. We're not poaching other people. So what we need to do is make sure that we identify the non-looker by the qualities we see in them that would make them a great foster parent. We say, you're so patient. You would make a great foster parent. Wow, you have such a calm disposition. You'd be a great foster parent. Oh, you are a great schedule juggler. You would be an excellent foster parent. When you identify those things in people, you're planting a seed. That's what happened with me when I was a teenager. My parents took in pregnant teens who had aged out of foster care, okay? One of them, several years later, was sitting across the table from me, and she said, you can do this. And I said, do what? And she said, foster. And I said, I can't foster. She said, if you have room in your house and love in your heart, you can foster. Well, what did she do that day? Planted a seed. My husband and I prayed together for a year about it before we dove in, but that seed was starting to grow in me. That's what we need to do with people that are searching. We can also do this with technology. Somebody who might be looking for something similar, we need to think about search engine optimization. Anybody know what a meta tag is? Most people don't. It is verbiage in your website that flags search engines. A lot of times, just the language that you have on your website about your program are the target words that if someone is looking up foster care in Nashville, they're going to find us because there's so much foster care in Nashville on our website. But we also tag each page. Sometimes it's automatic based on whoever your webmaster is, but you can add those to your sites, to the back end. Think of terms that people would be Googling and put those all over your website on the back end. Okay, you may need to ask your webmaster about that, or your IT department, but meta tags, M-E-T-A, meta tags are really, really important. Speed. Ooh, this is you, Amy.
So yesterday we talked a little bit about speed and responsiveness, and you do need to be responsive when you get that first inquiry. The thing, though, that we have done that we have found to be most helpful is we have kind of created, Laura calls it a boilerplate of information. We have an email that has everything in it that you're going to need to know if you want to foster with us. Even down to, if you want to foster with us, you're going to have to be willing currently to foster sibling groups or older kids 12 and up. And that just gives expectations in advance of who we are. You're going to have to sign off on our statement of faith. We need like-minded people. And then also who we're currently serving. We send that email out, and then within a couple of days, we're following up, right? We're following up to say, are you interested in fostering with us? And then having those conversations. And then we can follow up again and again and again. We also then would say, hey, we're going to have, I'm sorry, I'm standing in the way. We're having our first informational meeting. We had to get to a place where we're doing quarterly pre-service trainings. So we'll say, we have a wait list. Would you all like to be placed on our wait list? People are responsive to that. And then we also kind of start 3 weeks before circling the wagons back around. Hey, remember you wanted to be on our in our next class, our first informational meeting is such and such date. She's great with form stack and getting everything electronic. I used to think I was good with technology. I'm really not, so I lean on them. So, you know, everything is very simple. It's free, most of it. And I would suggest that you would look at that as well. The Annie Casey Foundation has a study that they did on recruitment and retention, and they said, where is it that we lose foster parents? Like, where's the gaps between inquiry all the way to the very last stage where they become fully approved? So I would say for you all, look at your gaps. Look at the gaps. Are people coming to the first class and then they fall off at the end because it's taken 6 months to get their home study approved? Or did they fall off at the third session because you ask for forms and people were rude in the way that they did it? Or I'm making stuff up. Surely that never happened to us. Look at your gaps. Think about, why is it that people did not get fully approved? And it, quite frankly, is okay, and I would say it's something that's healthy. If you get somebody that's fully approved, they went through your training, but they don't become fully approved, that's okay. Because the home study process is a lot. And you know what it should be? It should be a lot. You should not be able to have access to a child unless you have the same values and beliefs as us for Agape, and you're going to be able to withstand what it's going to take to be a foster parent. So I would just say, look at the gaps. And if you're thinking about time, that's really the most important. Any questions related to time or gaps? Okay.
And at any point in the process, when you have a family that is going through training, if they're asking questions, you better answer them. We have got to step it up with our customer service. If you've had great customer service at a hotel, you're wowed. That's great. What a great experience. But do you tell a lot of people about it? Probably not. But if you have a poo-poo experience, believe me, you're telling everybody. So if we're not responsive, you better believe they're hearing that other people are going to hear about it. So with us, I hear about other agencies and DCS who are not responsive. They don't reply. They don't call you back. I will call anyone back. Your response is really important. Sourcing is critical. Your foster parents, your house parents, whoever is serving you, they are your best source of referrals. If someone knows that your foster parent is a foster parent, they're going to know that you're connected. They're going to find out. And if their experience is good, then they're going to hear good things. They're going to be a good mouthpiece for you. We do quarterly satisfaction surveys with our foster parents. They are anonymous. We make sure that our foster parents know that they are anonymous. But we also allow them the option of telling us who they are in case we need to respond to something. If you want us to respond to you or any of the issues on your survey, let us know. Okay? But being anonymous allows us to hear real feedback on how we're doing, from home study to we've adopted and we're closing, or we're depleted and we're closing, or we had a great experience with this case manager, or this case manager wasn't responsive enough. We have to use that data. And if we're just receiving the surveys and not reviewing them, which we do that with Jeff Fox at least twice a year, four times a year, we're reviewing our surveys to see how our feedback is from our foster parents. That's really important. We have to be responsive to that information. Okay. Recruiting culture, this is all you.
So for us, everyone that works at our agency should be a recruiter for us, right? If you answer the phone, if you, regardless of what you do, you should be representing us and representing us well. And you need to have some talking points so that if you're out somewhere at church or they'll say, hey, what programs do you have? It's not a good look if you're like, oh, I don't know, I think we do foster care. That's not a good look on anybody. So have talking points so that people can say, hey, we are licensed with the state, and right now I think we have such and such kids. They don't have to have a master's degree. They just need to know what that looks like. The other thing that I think is invaluable in what we have done is look within your own foster parent pool that you currently have, okay? You're saying, I don't have any. Well, then look in your group home. Look in your family, the children's home. Look wherever you currently have staff that are serving children. What makes them successful? What makes them successful? And are there any like-minded people that they hang out with? Where do they work? Where do they go to church? What groups are they involved in? You could even think about we have foster families that we kind of group by areas of town they live in. So what part of town do they live in? Do their kids play ball together? We have three that are cops. Do we have any other cops maybe that we could utilize that would want to become foster parents for harder to place teens? So be creative with what you currently have. Think about, how can I recruit from within? I don't have to go out. I have a church. Is there anyone at our church that is a teacher, that has worked in special ed, that is a counselor? Is there anyone that's a doctor or a nurse or anyone that works in the school system? Think about what you currently have with the resources that you currently have and how you could be very intentional about what you're looking for. Any questions about recruiting from within? I feel like we're rushing, and we are, and I apologize, but I do want to answer questions if you have those. Okay.
Okay, number 8 is plan for diversity. All of your recruitment materials need to reflect the population of the families that we want to see fostering, not necessarily who we have fostering. We have had feedback because of the satisfaction surveys and because of an open relationship with families that we serve to know that some of the stuff that we have in the past used is offensive because it's not an accurate representation of the community they want to reflect. We want to involve our minority parents in committees or focus groups to make sure that we know who to target and how to target them. Again, making sure that our materials are reflective of what we need. We do not have enough Hispanic foster parents. We do not have enough African American foster parents. We need more. And so that's the way that we do that is work with the families that we already have. That's the key jumping off point. But then we also need to look at businesses that are supporting our kids and families and get their help in recruiting. We have a couple of salons that have offered services. We have white parents who are working with black kids who have different hair. That is a minor thing maybe to us, but it is a big thing. And it's important that they've offered their services. So now we have an opportunity to work with that salon and have them help us recruit by providing some of our materials, putting up a poster, by talking about us to the population that they serve. Additionally, we've got to attend community events where we can be around other populations to learn about the opportunities to serve. Like Amy mentioned, this Saturday we're going to be at Plaza Mariachi, where I told you I met with the other recruiters from other agencies. Plaza Mariachi is going to be covered in the Hispanic population from that part of town that we serve. So we're going to have an opportunity to be in front of these families and to talk to them and to recruit them, to let them see us. We've got to be part of the communities that we want to serve in a more impactful way. Okay? We assume that every placement is going to be a full-time placement. However, we initially want all of our foster parents to serve with short-term. Before they even get a full-term placement, it kind of helps them get their toe in the water just a little bit, wet their whistle, and help them think, oh, that wasn't so bad. That was just a weekend, or that was just a couple of weeks. I can do this. It empowers them. And most of the time, even though we might say, oh, this is going to be a short-term. This looks like it's only going to be a week. We'll get this figured out. And then, ooh, all the stuff comes out, and we realize this is going to be a much longer placement. We set up our families to expect it to be a long-term placement. And it's a tricky place to be in, right? We're asking them to love a child, pour in, give it all you've got, give it all you've got, but be willing to give them back. Oh, but if it doesn't work, please be willing to adopt them. It is a really sticky spot to ask of someone, but that's what we're asking of them. We're asking them to pour out and lay their heart on the line because they're adults and they can handle it. But these kids need us to lay our hearts out there for them for however long it takes. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And that's we offer training for that. How to serve your biological children as a foster parent. And that's an important piece too. So thanks for bringing that up.
So you don't want to oversell your applicant? It seems counterintuitive, right? You're like, we want you to come to us. We're great. This is what we do. We actually, at our organization, we do like to kind of toot our own horn, but we also like to be very intentional to let them know this is really hard and this is really tough. To piggyback off of what you said, why do I keep saying piggyback? I never say that word ever. We like to get together a lot with our foster families. Our foster families have a Facebook page, Agape Foster Parents. They all get on and they talk and they connect with each other. One thing that we have done, we have now served 7 Hispanic teen moms and their babies. And that's a lot. Of the 7, 3 of them spoke no English. So what do you do? They're like, do you have Hispanics? I'm like, no, I don't. How are they going to talk? We'll figure it out. So guess what? If you have an iPhone, you have a translator on there. I would get out my little iPhone, and they would speak into it. It would translate, and that's what we did. One of our foster moms, her husband owns a construction company. He hires a lot of Hispanic workers. They have a heart for Hispanic girls. This lady figures it out. I don't know how she does it, but she figures it out. She's got 5 kids right now. And she wanted to take another one, and her husband was, she said, Amy, I'm taking the fact that he didn't respond back to me as a no. I was like, yeah, probably so. But she got a Alexa, and she would Google Translate into the Alexa, it would come back. So don't be scared of things that you're not currently doing. You can do this. You can come up with ways to do that. We also, in our informational meeting, I go to most of those. Chandler tries to sit in on those. We used to do virtual. We really believe that right now, in person is best for pre-service training. You can be thoughtful. You can wear a mask. You can socially distance. You can do whatever you need to do. If you want to join a community, you need to see face-to-face. This would be so hard if we were meeting virtually right now. I couldn't have those side conversations. I couldn't meet you personally. I couldn't know that your son is a dermatologist. Like, you just wouldn't know that because yesterday I burned myself at the pool and she was telling me about it and she's right. So you just can't know those things, right? You need that face-to-face. But I say that to say, I go to all of the meetings and I say, here's the deal. What's your name? Troy. My job today is to help you not want to become a foster parent. I am here to get you all off the bandwagon because it's hard. Troy, have you ever loved on a foster parent before? Do you have a foster family at your church? You're not a good example. Okay. Thank you for your service. Have you ever been a foster parent? Okay, you're not either. Y'all are too good. I know y'all have. Have you ever been a foster parent? Okay, do you have a foster parent at your church? Have you loved on them? What did that look like? Okay, you might need to go support them a little bit more and come back at our next class. People are like, what? Laura and I really, the reason I say that is this. You have a lot of good intentioned people, but they have no concept of what fostering is. And we do not want people to go through the training and the resources that we have at our agency that are wonderful but quite limited. We don't want to spend 6 months on a family just to have them have their first placement, and because a child hit a dog, they will no longer take kids. Y'all, that has happened to me so many times, and it makes me mad. Yes.
So what happens if you are working with a family? Foster family seem to be pretty good, and they've worked with you about 6 months, and then they say, you got to get this kid out, and I want him out in the next 48 hours?
So that is a great question, and it has happened, but it shouldn't, and I'll tell you why. If you are doing the adequate support and case management that you're doing, you should have known there was issues all along, right? You don't get to that point overnight. Now, I will say, if there's a safety concern, that's really the only time I actually take that at face value and say, we got to move this kid immediately. A safety concern is not that you cussed at me and that you threw stuff at the wall. That's not a safety concern. Did you cut somebody? Did you put a hole in something? Did somebody have to go to the hospital or the police were called? If none of those things were true, that is not a safety concern. You have an annoyance, right? So what do we need to do? Have you been using respite? Have you been going to the trainings that we talked about? Have you asked me for help? Have we talked about how, because now your child is doing visits with their family, every time they come back, they are lost their mind? Have you talked about every time your kid is doing therapy on Thursday nights, you're going to be up till midnight? So what do we need to do to prepare for that? So it's a great question, but really you need to be doing the work on the front end so that you don't get there. We've had a couple of families. I closed one when I first came within the first 3 months because she got angry at me for something, and she refused to tell the child goodbye, and the worker and I had to go to his school and tell him and take his belongings to his new foster home. At that point, I realized that you can't come back from that. You can't come back from that. This was someone that, you know, was very well seasoned and works in the field and knows better. So if you are going to have the audacity to think that a child doesn't deserve the respect of telling you goodbye and knowing why he can't come back to your house, that has stuck with me forever. I close their home. We don't need families like that. I know we have to go. I want to read something really quick. We're going to give away a couple more of these books. I would encourage you, if you don't know, if you're looking to, if you have a foster parents currently, or you're looking, get them some books. This is a great one, Foster the Family. I would also encourage you to get anything, The Connected Parent, The Connected Child, The Body Keeps the Score. Okay, let me read this really quick. I know that God is with my precious foster kids when I'm there, when I'm not, that he never leaves them, that he can protect them and he can comfort them, and he is their only rescue, that when they're removed from the safety of my loving watch, that they're always under his. I know that the system is broken and the process and the people are all under God's sovereign and good plan, that no person is ever going to thwart his will. I know that God has provided others to walk this journey with me, that there is comfort and strength found in our community, and that he has called me to provide comfort and strength just the same. I know that this small town county judge is just a human like me, and that actually God is just, and there is justice, and ultimately this is all in his will. There's so many nuggets like that in this book that just encourages my heart all the time, so I would encourage you to get one of these for your families.
Okay, our last point, take advantage of technology. This is simple. You do not need an expensive database. You do not need an expensive database. Excel spreadsheet is incredibly effective. Make it simple. Make it where you know exactly when you're following up. I loved what Robert said this morning. Make a list of 10 things that you need to do every day. And if you don't get to all of them, add the ones you didn't do to the next list, and it's the first of the 10 that need to get done. You have to accomplish some tasks. In this world, sometimes things are hot, and we say, oh no, this is on fire, I got to put this fire out, and then all the things on your list don't get done. You've got to grieve it and move on, but you have to respond to your people in a timely fashion. To work people through the process. Again, knowing how they matriculate from first inquiry to I am an approved foster parent, and all the steps along the way. Have you gotten them to the next step and to the next step and to the next step? Are you following up with them? If they decided not to move forward with this training, follow up with them and see if they're going to follow, if they're going to go through with the next one. Keep talking to them until they say, we've decided not to do this, or we've decided to go with another agency. continue to follow up. Emails are free. And it's okay to blind copy and send your general information. Hey, I just wanted to follow up with you since we talked last. I'd love to know if you're interested in moving forward with our training. Here's a link to register. You can send that, and it seems personal. You can send that to a huge list, okay? And that gets all your people at once. Work smarter, not harder, okay? All right, so those are 10 things. We don't have time to show this video. But if you ever have seen Josh Shipp, we show his video. Oh, let's not watch that whole thing. We show that at an informational meeting, and Josh is a former foster youth, and his story is awesome, but he talks about one caring adult. If you can use that when you're talking to people, he doesn't sugarcoat the experience. He was a really big handful of a kid. Anyway, it's a great video. Of those 10 things that we talked about today, I would love to know, which one's the most important for you right now? Anybody? Write a plan. Come up with a plan. And you can remember, that's easy. You can look at other people's plans. You do not have to reinvent the wheel.
Use our current resources, people.
Yes. Yes. Let them be your best recruiters, the people who you already have fostering or people on your staff to be your best recruiters. What other strategies are most important to you right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't have to be the Coca-Cola logo. We're not expecting the whole world to know what your agency is. But the people who interact with you need to know, the people that interact with you need to know what you do, and it needs to be clear from your website, particularly from your email signature, from whatever you put out there. What else? Anything else important of this list? Yes, she says weeding out the initial inquiries that are not going to move forward with you. We don't want to pour in our resources to someone who's not fully committed to this. And when you fully commit to this, this is a mission field. You have to remind people what you're inviting them to. Okay, what you win them with is what you win them to. If you're winning them to, oh, this is such a fun experience, then you're winning them to a fun experience, and that's not what this is. Okay, there's joy and amazing fruit that comes from this experience, but it's hard. There is, when I first started fostering, there was a Toby Mac song, and the lyric in it was, "It's harder than I thought it'd be. It's taking every part of me, but empty never felt so full. This is what love feels like." We have to tell them that we're pouring themselves out to do this beautiful work.
I hope that from this we can kind of create a community amongst us, that we can start sharing resources and talking through tough stuff. And if we have a book that we found that's great, or a resource, or a recruitment plan, or, you know, anything. So please email me. It might take me a day to get back with you, but I promise within 24 hours close a business that I will, because that's what we've set up for ourselves. So Laura has moved into a new role, but I mean, if you have a training or recruitment question, she's wonderful too. One other thing that I didn't talk about, but I think that we are not plugging into enough, especially within this network, we have some incredible universities that have phenomenal social work programs. We scored because Lipscomb is 5 minutes from our office. That's our recruitment pool. I mean, these people come and work for me for 9 months, and I've hired every single one of them. So I would suggest, if you live close to a university, pull on those kids, pull on the programs, utilize those, because it's phenomenal.
All right, yeah. I hope you guys, this was helpful. If, you know, let's give him a big round of applause. So I stand between you and lunch, so I won't say too much. But there are a couple things I did want to. And I think they talked about it. I was out a little bit this session, but, you know, my wife and I were foster parents for 16 years. You know, who knew foster parenting would lead me to a career as an executive director at Agape of Nashville, but it did. And, God's strange. He got strange ways of doing things. But, But one of the things that I think that we have done, and I don't know if y'all talked about this, that this they've really done a great job of, is connecting our foster parents to each other and having that camaraderie among themselves. And I don't know if y'all talked about that very much, but that you can talk about that. You can ask some questions about that afterwards. But that, to me, has been a really huge part of our retention, ultimately then our recruitment of additional foster families. And then if you didn't catch what they said about a Facebook page for our foster family, for Agape Foster Families, connect with them about that. That's another huge tool of connecting our foster parents and making them feel like they are in community together. Last thing I want to say. We again, having been a foster parent, having seen what we were doing with our training and kind of like, we were just trying to hit some numbers. We said, you know what? We want people who really want to be committed to this. And we don't want to go through months of training, weeks of training. Then what ends up happening is you have unhappy people in foster care. And so what you want is happy people in foster care because they become your advocates. And if you've got to raise money, and probably everybody in this room, somebody in your organization's raising money, there's no better advocate to raise money than your foster parents in a church that you probably won't ever get to go see or get a pulpit time. So that's a really important part. And then the last thing I want to give you is this. There is an article, Foster the Family, Jenny, I can't remember what Jenny's last name is. Now she wrote the book that you got there. Jenny Finn. So I would encourage you to look up one of her posts. It's called I Hate Foster Care. And if you've never read that particular post, it was one of the first ones she did way back when she started this. I Hate Foster Care. I would encourage you to make sure that's a part of your training and your recruitment of foster families. Because it is a powerful, powerful message. And if somebody gets to the end of that and they say, I can't do that, then they're probably not going to be a great foster care fit. I hate foster care. It's really powerful. It's really encouraging. And I would encourage you to look that up. So with that, thank you guys for joining and being here. And I think I stand between you and lunch, so we're dismissed.